Chapter 4. Coach would take care of it. Let's go back to this phrase, resource deficits. Doug Belisle grew up with more than a few resource deficits.
I remember having to scounge for food all throughout most of my life. It's like the fridge was always empty, the cupboards were always empty. So whatever little food we did have, I tried to prepare for me and my brothers.
A box of macaroni, whatever spices he could find in the cupboards. It usually wasn't enough.
I mean, my brother got up during the middle of the night and would get into food, so that would take away from everybody else, but he was little. He didn't know better, so tried to explain it to him as best as I could.
All of this created stress, as it would for any kid. Belisle says his grades weren't so great, but he actually loved school.
I mean, we got free lunch at school, so, you know, I made the most of my lunches at school just so, you know, I knew I had something good to eat. So, you know, I looked forward to going to school to get out of the house because the house was a mess, you know, to get away from my parents because, I didn't want to be at home at all.
School was the one place he felt comfortable, at least until the incident. In Belisle's freshman year of high school, he was assigned a science project on electronics. Belisle brought in an old PlayStation for the class to tear apart and study.
It wasn't me taking it apart. It was some other people taking it apart, and they took it apart, and then just a bunch of roaches just flew out of it.
The incident followed him for years.
You know, it was all about the roaches because that's what they knew of. So then they made the assumption that my house was extremely dirty, and it was. I mean, I'm not going to lie about it, but, you know, I went to school to get away from my home life, and then my home life came to school with me.
This is the point in the story where things could have started going really badly for Belisle. He was a freshman in high school, troubled at home, outcast at school. A particularly bad recipe for boys. But Belisle still had one thing going for him. He was on the wrestling team at school.
And then once I got to the wrestling room, everything was fine, because nobody made fun of anybody, because we were all family in the wrestling room. Nobody said anything bad, and if they did, coach would take care of it.
The team was Belisle's family. This isn't some high school sports cliche. For many boys, sports teams are the closest thing to a family that they've really got. It's what saved Belisle. He eventually moved out of his parents' house and finished high school.
My grades improved because I wasn't as stressed out, and my wrestling coach always had a tutor. You know, he had a tutoring class after schools for his wrestlers, so we'd always keep our grades up so we could wrestle.
Belisle's experience is not rare. When I was visiting River Rouge High School, I asked teachers what characteristics separated the boys who did well in class and the boys who didn't. They told me the boys who do well are all in sports. Corey Parker, River Rouge's dean of students, who we heard from earlier, he's also the head football coach. He told me most of his players don't have dads at home. They don't even have dads who show up on Friday night.
I am the dad. Those kids will run through brick walls for me because of the love that I have to show them outside of football. So a lot of things we do has, you know, a very small percentage with actually X and O's and player development. It's a lot to do with just showing them what they might not have received from a man before, that encouragement, that leadership, that love.